Good morning and welcome into the Blitz. Live here on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. I'm Charlie Collier. To my left, Matthew Gill, and we are here with you on this Thursday, June 8th, for the next couple of hours, getting into your lunch break on this Thursday morning. Got a problem right off the bat.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I showed up today, and there's a baseball sitting in the studio.
Which was a misstep by whoever left it for guys like us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to do 2 hours of radio with a baseball here.
Yeah. Yeah, when you throw a baseball, football, whatever it is, in the mix with just a couple guys cutting up.
That's all I can think about.
Busting chops. Like, yeah, I could figure out the split finger.
I could throw a little bit of a splitter.
I could probably put this a cool 35 on the black.
Just gotta get it up in between those two fingers.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
Did you ever pitch at all?
Yeah, I was a pitcher.
I figured.
Maybe a little circle change action.
Yeah. Well, you've got a hose on you. I've always
a little 12-6, maybe. I don't know. I'm so fascinated by this baseball now.
Yeah, and the fact that it has signatures on it.
Yeah, that's really what I'm. So this baseball that we found, it's just been sitting in the studio, I guess.
Yeah.
I asked 3 and Out. They didn't know the origins of it either. It's got a Tennessee Power Tee on it, and it has probably about 18 signatures.
Yeah, and the thing is, those are definitely getting rubbed off because we're just going to continue to.
I won't rub the signatures off. I've been trying to figure out.
Not on purpose, but you know, you throw a couple different, you know, grips on there. Practice that 12-6 a couple times, a couple four seamers. Eventually, it's just the natural body oils, brother. They'll eat that ink right off of it.
I've been trying to decipher who these signatures may be, and I can't.
Are you a collector of anything, really? You do the. Did you ever get into the basketball cards or baseball during COVID at all?
Like into cards?
Yeah.
I have probably 15,000 to 20,000.
Yeah.
Like sports cards. I think I probably have some pretty valuable ones.
From your youth, or
mostly just from my youth.
Yeah,
and they're kind of, sort of, not really, but sort of, kind of organized back at my house in Franklin.
Yeah.
The problem is I roughed a lot of cards up.
Right. Right.
Because I played with them.
Played how? Do you mean?
All right. So this is just gonna sound weird. I think maybe.
I hope it does. That's the best case.
So I would take my baseball cards. I would have all my cards organized by team.
Okay.
Right? In binders. And by player and by starting lineup and by like era and stuff like that when I was younger.
So you did take it pretty seriously. You were a big time collector.
Yeah, but I guess I wasn't even like thinking, oh, this card's worth more, this card's not worth more. I wasn't thinking of it in terms of value.
No, of course not.
Give me cards. I like looking at these cards. Junior Spivey was my first baseball card. He was an Arizona Diamondbacks player, and I was briefly a Diamondbacks fan because of that.
Nice.
Do I know anything else about Junior Spivey besides the fact that he was my first baseball card? No.
Absolutely not. Did
he even spend more than a week in the league? I don't know. It's actually.
We'll probably never know.
I'm going to look it up, Junior Spivey.
He sounds so irrelevant, Charlie, that I doubt he even has a Wikipedia.
Well, oh, nope, I found him. Handsome fella, this Junior Spivey. Ernest Lee, Junior Spivey, is a former second baseman in Major League Baseball.
Former.
In his five-year Major League career, Spivey batted .270 with 48 homers.
Okay, not that bad, honestly.
And he made the National League All-Star team in 2002.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. Not a bad guy.
And he retired a Washington National, made his last MLB appearance for the Nats September 27th, 2005. So I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
When I got this card. Or three, because he was a Diamondback.
I think you're Diamondback.
It was 2003, so that means I was that's an early memory to have. I remember this Junior Spivey Diamondbacks card.
Yeah, I was looking at it last night. I think your Diamondbacks are leading the NL West.
They are. They're leading the NL.
That's insane. Well, I'm glad you've decided to re-up your Arizona Diamondbacks fandom then.
But no, so I would play with them, right? I would...
Yeah.
I would track roster movements, so I would have...
You were moving guys up
yeah,
and down.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I would have like Shaq Laker cards in the Heat binder or stuff like that.
Okay, I gotcha.
I would kind of do that, but I used to... You know those little, like, small, sticky balls? Like, they had all those little mini suction cups coming off of them.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
I would use that. I would build airports with blocks and fake airplanes. And then I would select... I didn't watch a lot of kid shows. I didn't really watch, like, Disney movies or anything like that. I would watch SportsCenter, and then I would build airports, and then I would do this every day.
Yeah.
So I'd build up my airports. I'd put them in different rooms of the house. And then I would select a 25-man roster out of the baseball cards, and I would have two teams play each other. And I would, like, try to reflect what their active 25-man roster looked like or, like, what active lineups looked like.
Yeah.
And I would just, like, have them board a fake plane, and I would fly them from one city to another airport, and then I would put them on a bus, and I would have them play a simulated 9-inning game with my hand in that ball and those baseball cards sliding around the floor and everything like that.
Wow. That's pretty, like, imaginative for a little kid, though.
So that's what I would do. So a lot of my cards are roughed up, but yes, I do have a bunch of them.
Yeah, okay.
I do collect just sports memorabilia in general and, like, some autographs and stuff like that.
What's your favorite piece you have?
That's a great question. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's hard to put one on it. Anyways, I ask because I've recently gotten into the card game, and it's just a giant waste of money. But it's fun. I enjoy it. Searching for a couple Palo rookies, you know? Grab a John Morant whenever I can find them.
Do you buy, like, packs from the store?
Yes. That's what I enjoy the most, is actually just opening the packs, but that's the quickest way that you lose money doing it, because 90% of the time you're getting terrible, terrible cards. Like, if you really wanted to make money doing it, which one of my buddies, like, does, is you buy, you know, like, you take stock of, he has a ton of Trevor Lawrence stuff that now is worth a lot more because Trevor Lawrence obviously had an awesome season last year.
Yeah, I don't know. The cards have never quite done it for me the same way. But I have a bunch of all kinds of different random sports memorabilia.
Yeah. I have a piece of turf from the Battle of Bristol that I like a lot.
That's pretty sick.
It you can't tell by looking at it in any way. There is no indication that that's what it is, but it is. So that's good. I have an Yves Pons autograph. Golf visor, which is an interesting one, but I like that one a lot as well. What else do I have? I don't know. I would have to look around my room and see.
I don't really know, like, what I have that's, like, super. I just have a bunch of random stuff, I feel like. Anyway, breaking news off the rip, by the way.
Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, some NFL news. We'll get into that a little bit later. But just to let you guys know, the Vikings are cutting Dalvin Cook. Breaking news, I wouldn't say shocking by any means. We've kind of known that Dalvin Cook and the Vikings were going their separate ways.
Right.
It was more so, you know, were the Vikings going to be able to trade Dalvin Cook? Because... they felt like, well, there was a report 2 days ago that the Vikings still felt like they could hold on to Dalvin and find a trade partner, but I guess they've officially given up. I mean, I saw, like, Dalvin was in Florida yesterday.
Okay.
Because, you know, Travis Rudolph, that former Florida State player, was found not guilty yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went live on Instagram after he was celebrating. He was playing, like, some Lil Durk and... having a good old time, which I would too if I were him.
Just being a couple Florida boys.
Just being free again for something, you know, you didn't do, obviously. Right. But Dalvin Cook was in that video on the Instagram Live, so he's clearly not at, you know, OTAs. But I imagine he's going to end up a member of the Miami Dolphins.
I could see that. Or I was thinking that or the Jets. Although I like Breece Hall
a lot. I was going to say the Jets already have Breece Hall. And do they technically still have James Robinson and Michael Carter on that team too?
Definitely Michael Carter. James Robinson, that's a good question. I like that kid.
I love James
Robinson. I was surprised
Robinson.
Jacksonville gave him up for practically nothing.
Well, James Robinson was pissed. He was like, what happened?
Yeah, he was sick.
I was playing great, and then I got traded to New York to be part of their offense with Breece Hall down, and then you guys just won't give me the ball.
Yeah, although Etienne's pretty, I think, probably has the higher ceiling of the two. So I get it, but you could have kept both.
When I was saying, like, the Jets didn't give him the ball when he traded him to the Jets.
Right, but I'm saying if you're Jacksonville, he was awesome for you.
Etienne is just, I mean, an incredible player.
Yeah. I like that Jacksonville team.
You doing good today, by the way?
I'm good.
All around?
Yeah. I'm trying out a new hat. We're both baseball hat guys today. We're in our favorite teams.
Is that a new hat?
Yes.
It looks very white.
Yeah, just got it yesterday in the mail. It might be too cool for me. I'm not sure yet.
I like it.
I'm gonna wear it the rest of the day.
I was actually thinking about it earlier when I was just looking over there. Good Devil Rays hat, too.
Yeah, well, Mitchell and Ness pulled the old bait and switch on me. They showed me an ad on Facebook for basically this logo on just a black t-shirt, and I was like, perfect, I'll take that. Get to the website, and it's like, oh, it's not dropping for a couple more weeks. But then right next to it was this hat, which was already available. I was like, oh, I'm already here. They're giving me 15% discount. I'll take the hat. So today's a trial run. You and I are almost daily hat wearers, and I take that responsibility seriously, and so, you know, I get nervous when I try to put a new one in rotation. So we'll see if this one lasts, but as of right now, I like it.
I'm a big hat guy.
Yeah, both of us.
I wear a hat 365 days a year.
Same here. And I once had a roommate.
And I have nice hair too, so, you know, I don't know. I can maybe wear a hat less often, but.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. There's a lot of things that are beneficial about wearing the hat. But I had a roommate one time ask me, he was like, dude, you wear a hat every day. What is up with that? I was like, dude, what are we dating? Why do you need to sit at the top of my head? You know what I mean? Like, it is like a revealing thing to have people look at the top of your head.
The only time I'm not wearing a hat is when I'm caught. Actually, no, I do play-by-play in a hat. So unless I'm on TV.
Weddings,
if I'm on TV doing play-by-play, I won't wear a hat. If I'm... Yeah, at a wedding or like a really nice function, I won't wear a hat. And when I'm waiting tables, I won't wear a hat.
Yeah, and you get a good head of hair.
Every other time, hat's on.
Yeah.
At home, watching TV, hat on.
Yeah.
Playing video games, hat on. Laying down on the couch,
and if I
hat on.
And if I'm at home and I'm not wearing a hat, then I throw a hoodie on with the hood up, which kind of serves the same purpose.
I wonder why. Wonder why we have to wear hats all the time. But I do love the Devil Rays logo.
Yeah, it's
I still wish they never got rid of it.
Yeah. Great win last night, by the way. Had a walk-off home run against the Twins.
Could you imagine
Randy
how much
bomb.
Cooler it would be if the Rays were the best team in the AL and they were the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? So.
Yeah. I think they were the Devil Rays unis last night, though. I could be wrong. Let me double-check that. I think I remember seeing Randy in the Devil Rays.
Love the dark, like, that shade of green to me is, I feel like it's so unique.
Oh, well, they don't wear this one anymore,
right.
The black and green, which is the superior, that's, like, the best one. But they wear the white one that says Devil Rays on it still. Usually on Fridays, though.
Just
so
that shade of green, man, is so good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so I'm good. They didn't wear those last night. So new hat today. Yesterday I also didn't have my normal belt. Usually wear this belt that I have on right now with a fish hook on it. Didn't have it yesterday. So I felt a little bit out of whack and did not have my regular boots. So yesterday I felt like a little bit off balance. Today I'm feeling awesome and fired up to talk NBA Finals with you and whatever else you got for me.
Yeah, NBA Finals. That didn't go too well. Other than that, though, pretty solid night. I mean, tried to pull out all the stops. Went to the DAC replays downtown. Got a Miami Vice.
Okay.
And we got our Jets pizza that we get.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to pull out the witchcraft, which
we've
did kind of worry
Jets
me.
Jets pizza had been 4-0 in the playoffs for us up until then. But going somewhere to get a Miami Vice was a new twist. So now I'm thinking maybe we should eliminate that next time.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. We also went to a soft opening of a bar last night briefly before the game.
How was that?
It was solid. It was like a 70s boogie bar type deal.
Okay.
Big disco ball. Pretty neat. Cool place.
Wow. All right.
No free milk, but some of you might know where I'm talking about. Do you watch Dave, by the way?
This is the Lil Dicky show. No, but you were the first person. I remember when it first came out, and you were like, dude, this is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah,
I always loved it. I watched the season 3 finale yesterday, though. I got a week behind last week. It was the weirdest season finale I've ever seen.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I have never heard one person that didn't like the show. I think it's either you watch it and you love it, or you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Which is the camp I'm in. But I think I would like it, yeah.
You should watch it tonight. Just start it.
Okay.
But I got to the season 3 finale. I was like, hold up, is that Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt, huh?
And then I don't think this like spoils too much. I'm not giving you any plot lines, but Brad Pitt is in the majority of the episode. It's just like, man, when this show started just on, you know, Lil Dicky's show on FX, didn't think that Brad Pitt would just be on an entire episode, or like Rachel McAdams in multiple episodes, or Drake in the episode.
Love Rachel McAdams.
The cameos have gotten crazy this
year. So does Brad Pitt play Brad Pitt?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's
they all play themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the cameos have gone like way up this year. I don't know how they top it. Solid all around, though. Really just a good day. Good day to have a good day, besides the fact that Miami lost last night. But it's Friday Junior already. Got some going to a comedy show tonight. Should be a good time over at the Bijou.
Nice.
Sam Morrell in town.
Really?
Big Sam Morrell guy.
Yeah, he's funny. I like him a lot.
I saw him in Nashville like 2 years ago, and it was very good.
And he's at the Bijou?
At the Bijou tonight.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Me and my buddy bought 4 tickets like a month and a half ago after a night out. It was probably like 3:30 in the morning. We were watching one of his stand-ups. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, he's in Knoxville in a month and a half. And then I went home. Hour later, I get a text from my buddy. I woke up to it because I went to bed, but woke up to a text, bought 4 Sam Morrell tickets.
Yeah, I think he's hilarious.
So he said, we're just going to take 2 dates and we're gonna go. And I was like, all right, sounds good. We forgot about it for a while. And then last week, we're like, oh, wait a second. We still got this comedy show last week. Got to find some dates. So yeah, now we got some dates, comedy show. Going to be a good night.
I love that. It's going to be an awesome Thursday.
Good Thursday. Yeah, but catch a break here. We'll dive into the NBA Finals on the other side. It was a historic night for the Nuggets, a forgettable one for my Miami Heat. We'll talk about it next here on the Blitz. Picked up a lot of momentum in Game 2.
Mm.
Felt like they had really turned the series back in their favor. They had turned home court. They'd befuddled the Nuggets a little bit, too. You know, they were throwing that zone at them. The Nuggets weren't shooting particularly well. Defensively, the Nuggets were struggling with their pick-and-roll defense. Saw on ESPN yesterday, Brian Windhorst was actually reporting that the Heat were so prepared, so intelligent, that they were hearing what Denver called out in terms of their pick-and-roll defense and then collectively changing what type of pick-and-roll they were running on the fly based on what defense Denver was calling.
Okay.
So, you know, Miami felt like they'd had the upper hand going back to Miami in a series that many people expected to only last 4 or 5 games. And then last night comes around, and I think you lost all of that momentum.
Definitely.
And just a historic performance for the Nuggets stars, both Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray with triple-doubles.
Yep, 30-point triple-doubles.
So if I'm not mistaken, I saw on the bottom of the screen after the game, that was the first time that's happened in the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah.
Their teammates has had triple-doubles, which I would hope that that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
incredible. Incredible that happened. But Miami's role players, really everyone not named Bam Adebayo or Jimmy Butler, just kind of disappeared last night.
Right.
And Jokic and Jamal Murray were
incredible. They
were unstoppable.
Almost perfect basketball they played.
And quite frankly, I'm not sure where the series goes from here.
I still think this is 2-2 by the weekend. I think we go back to Denver, and it's a 3-game series basically where Denver has 2 of them at home, and they close it out that way. But if you think back to the Lakers series against Denver, like, you go in, they were going into game four, and everybody is thinking, oh, well, they already stole one in L.A. They'll take tonight off in game four, and they'll win it at home. And they didn't. They went in game four, and they took a second one, and they swept that series. And that was kind of what gave them this huge rest advantage, you know, in part with Miami going seven with Boston on the other side of the bracket. But I could see it going either way. Like, I could see Denver taking the night off. And the role guys, again, took the night off on the road, which is to be expected. They leaned on their two stars. But the problem was Miami did too, and Denver's two stars are just too much to overcome, you know, even for Jimmy and Bam. I we also talked about MPJ yesterday. Man, he stunk. He stunk the whole finals. And last night was really bad for him. Only, like, I think it ended up 21 minutes. He only scored 2 points.
2 points on 1 of 7 shooting.
And it was in the first quarter. It was like 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. He scored his only bucket.
Bruce Brown didn't do a whole lot either.
But Christian Braun, however.
Christian Braun is, what the heck, man? Why?
Incredible game. For a rookie,
not fair that Christian Braun plays like that in the NBA Finals.
Well, so it is a little bit of the Caleb Martin thing, right? Where it's like this guy out of nowhere comes off your bench and now gives you super valuable minutes. But the thing is, this kid's a rookie, and he looked, you know, as poised as anybody on the floor. At one point, he even takes Jimmy Butler on one-on-one in transition and scores on him. And, you know, he played an incredibly perfect game. I thought that Bruce Brown was going to be kind of the one that picked up MPJ's slack, but it ended up being Christian Braun as well. I was shocked that MPJ had such a bad game again, though. His confidence is clearly shot, and I wonder if the leash continues to get shorter and shorter as the series goes on.
Yeah, at this point, there's no time to waste. There's no time to wait and see. You are in the NBA Finals. You can't wait for Michael Porter Jr. to figure it out, especially when you can get contributions again from Bruce Brown and from Christian Braun, like you did last night. Feels like both of these teams just don't make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, really well coached
and
high IQ teams.
And that's a problem for the Heat because they're so reliant on their toughness and their high level of defense forcing teams to make mistakes. You know, that's in a way how they kind of make up for that talent gap sometimes. But when both teams are playing, not mistake-free, obviously, but a level of basketball that doesn't have a lot of mistakes, then the Nuggets' ceiling is just so much higher.
Definitely.
You know, it feels like the Heat can win games and they can muck it up sometimes and they can elevate their game. But just, you know, the Nuggets have a higher floor and a higher ceiling, and it's tough to overcome that in a 7-game series. So you do need everything to click if you're the Heat. And, I mean, in game one, Jimmy Butler doesn't play well and your role players don't have a good night shooting, and you get, you know, you pulled back into the fourth quarter but essentially run off the floor. Last night, playing it close for a half, but you know, you don't get a much of a contribution from Gabe Vincent, you don't get much from Max Strus, you don't get much from Duncan Robinson, you don't get much from Kyle Lowry.
Kevin Love ended up not playing well.
I mean, really anyone that wasn't Bam or Jimmy, you didn't get a whole lot from. And combine that with the fact that the Nuggets didn't make a lot of mistakes, that's just not a situation you can be in if you're Miami. Miami got here with historic shot making.
Right. Unsustainable shot making.
Yeah, it's been sustained at an unsustainable level for much longer than it should.
Yeah.
You hope they don't hit the wall now in the finals, but Miami's gotten here partially because of their historic shot making from a myriad of role players. And 2 out of 3 games in the NBA Finals now, that's disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough because, you know, you got kind of used to how good the Strus, Vincent, Caleb Martin to start, and then, you know, Duncan Robinson as he kind of got going as the playoffs went on. And now, you know, as Jimmy Butler has not played, even last night I still don't think is the best Jimmy Butler game by any means. And, you know, if he's run out of help, like, they just don't have a ton of other answers, I don't think. Like, I don't really know what the adjustment is other than play better.
Can tell you one thing for sure, or at least I'm pretty sure of this, Tyler Hero is going to come back now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Without a doubt, you're going to see Tyler Hero. You know, he still hasn't been cleared. I think that now that you're down 2-1 and you've had two games where your shooting has failed you, a guy that was maybe your best shooter and you know, definitely your second best scorer throughout the regular season, you're going to figure out a way to get him cleared and get him into the lineup, at least in some sort of minimal role, or just have him ready so if you're having another bad shooting night, you can inject someone like him into the lineup and see if that can give you a boost.
I think you have to play him game four or not at all in this series because you're still at home. It's an easy way to reacclimate him into the lineup. But once you get down, you know, if they're down 3-1 and on the road, you don't want to bring Tyler Hero back in that situation where, you know, it could go sideways and your season's over and you've lost the NBA Finals because you brought back Tyler Hero in game five on the road. You know, so I think it's either play him game four in a limited role, see how he feels, see how he plays, see how he moves. And if not, then you kind of have to wash your hands of the Tyler Hero thing at all in the rest of the season, because game five, six, and seven, like, it's really hard to bring back a guy when you've been playing so well for basically a month without him. You know, over a month, really, now. And if there is one person I would trust to do it, though, it is Spo. You know, he pushes all the right buttons. If he thinks Hero's good to go, like, I would believe in it. But I would have a hard time getting there with bringing Hero back in a game five, six, or seven situation where you're facing elimination.
I think that's a good point, though. I agree. You have to bring Tyler Hero back. Game four, not at all.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back game four. I do. I think that that's a move the Heat are going to make. In terms of what role he plays, I'm still not entirely sure. You know, will he be put back in the starting lineup, or I guess will he be put into the starting lineup? I don't think so. I don't think you mess with, like,
no,
the Strus,
no,
Vincent,
no.
Adebayo, Butler, Love look right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him eat into Caleb Martin's minutes either, but, like, Kyle Lowry played 30 minutes last night. You know, you can
do with a little less Kyle Lowry.
You can lose 5 Kyle Lowry minutes, 10 Kyle Lowry minutes, 5. You know, you can lose 3 to 5 Gabe Vincent minutes, who's playing 34. You know, you have Max Strus at 24. You can drop him down to 20, and all of a sudden, you know, there's 20 to 25 minutes for Tyler Hero, and I think that's...
There's definitely room for him
to good
play.
Number.
There's no doubt about that. I will say Caleb Martin had a solid third quarter, by the way. Like, he...
I'm a big Caleb Martin guy. I thought...
Well, you have to be after
I thought
this
for
Boston
a,
series.
A moment, too, that Caleb Martin was about to spark it.
He was about
to get that offense going. I thought he was about to have another big Caleb Martin moment. You know, he hit a three, hit J. Cole with a little smile, a little... Little what's
J. Cole on the sidelines. Yeah,
J. Cole. Next possession, another three.
And he had a crazy layup at one point.
Yeah,
too.
Then Jokic turns it over, and he just has that weird, crazy fly through the air, reverse acrobatic layup.
Yeah.
You know, 8 straight points for him. It was insane in Miami. You know, it was... A point where it felt like it was about to turn for Miami.
Yeah, exactly. You said this is exactly where they want the Denver Nuggets right now. They've done this.
Yeah, it was like
the entire
here we go again.
Playoffs. Right
here we go again, and then next possession, Caleb Martin had another pretty good look from the right wing from three, and didn't put it in.
Right,
and that just killed everything Miami had for some reason. The Nuggets answered right back with, I believe it was a 7-0 run, 8-0 run. And everyone not named Jimmy and Bam just stopped playing from that point on. Caleb Martin only scored 2 more points the rest of the game, and you didn't get a whole lot from anyone else either.
Yeah, I thought this game, you know, in the third quarter really took a turn. You know, you keep it close through a half. If you're Miami, you feel pretty good about it. And Denver played a really solid third quarter. Aaron Gordon really got going for him at that point. And that was kind of when the Kevin Love thing went a little sideways for him, I think, as well. And that's what kind of what I expected. You know, I said yesterday I thought the Aaron Gordon-Kevin Love thing could kind of flip from what it did in Game 2, which was obviously the right move by Spo. And I think they're kind of out of other options. They can't give up all that size and go back to Martin in the starting lineup. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to the Murray-Jokic two stars playing out of their minds. And by the way, the triple-double thing is impressive. It's amazing. Jamal Murray obviously played an awesome game, but it's weird how much Michael Malone wants these guys to stat pad and stat hunt. Like, he's still in there in garbage time to get that 10th rebound. And he's done that with Jokic several times throughout this season and last season. Like, if he's one assist, one rebound away, one bucket away from a triple-double, leaving him in there a little bit longer just to stat pad. And it kind of goes with the begging people for the national media attention to pay attention to these Nuggets. Like, he's now stat padding Jamal Murray so that it looks like this amazing stat, two teammates with 30-point triple-doubles.
You know, I don't have a huge problem with the stat padding.
I don't have a problem with the stat padding. I don't understand.
The cry for attention is weird.
Yes, but my point is that this is a guy who has had injury trouble for the past several years that has derailed your championship potential, and you're leaving him out there to get a meaningless 10th rebound. That is weird to me. And yes, obviously the crying for media attention is odd.
Yesterday in the NBA could not have been a good day for him. Because no one cared about the Nuggets yesterday. They only cared about...
What a clinic the NBA put on.
Twitter was a good place yesterday.
It was...
Apparently, Zion Williamson is under some hot water on Twitter.
Yeah. David Stern smiled down on the NBA last night, and he said, attaboy. Yes. Because they stole the headlines that have only been LIV Golf and PGA Tour merger all week. And they said, no, this is our time of the year.
Yeah, they said, hold up. Golf. We're not talking about golf right now. We got Zion spitting in mouths.
Yeah, we have the allegedly most entertaining off-season product of anybody. Let's turn up the heat a little bit.
Yeah, crank it up. Ja Morant, we need to get some attention back on us. We're going to need you and your guys to say it was a fake gun.
Yeah, it was
a toy
gun. Yes, just yesterday, it was the Zion thing early. It was Adam Silver making another appearance to talk about Ja Morant during the NBA Finals. It was the Chris Paul Suns deal, and then obviously capped off by Game 3. It was just a masterclass of dominating the headlines.
The Zion Williamson jokes yesterday were quite incredible.
Yeah.
Zion getting accused of some grimy things.
Some unsavory behavior.
He's always had a thing for those grimy girls, dude.
I don't know.
He likes it a little grimy.
I don't know about that, but you could be right. I have no idea.
I don't of the tweets.
Oh, so good. That's the thing is, like, you didn't
Zion even finding his next girlfriend on page 120.
Not the not only the memes that was the response to it, but just the actual interaction and tweet thread by what is apparently the scorned, at least the girl who feels scorned.
Scorned ex-lover.
Yes.
Alleged scorned ex-lover.
But also possibly still future. I don't know. It seemed ambiguous as to what she wanted out of the situation. If she wanted it to end or continue, or she just wanted to gain a bunch of followers on Twitter yesterday, which she definitely accomplished.
I've heard some funny stories from the Duke days, too, that all kind of just line up with everything else that Zion's been facing the last couple of days.
Yeah.
That's why, dude. The 2019 draft class jokes are.
Oh yeah, it's been rough.
Always get me. Someone just needs to send that whole group back to school.
RJ Barrett comes out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, RJ Barrett. His problem is that he's just not that
not
good.
Not awesome. Yeah, he
he's
plays
just
in
not
New
very
York.
Good. And then you know, Jaw's got a gun problem. Zion's got a food injury and woman problem.
Yeah.
We need to put Zion in like Sacramento. I feel like he could.
I gotta say, yeah. Like the thing
like
is,
a
though,
city like that, maybe.
Yeah, the thing is, like, he's a 24-year-old kid with, or I think 23 even, with millions of dollars in one of the craziest cities in the world. Like, we can't. It's hard
dude,
to cash.
You can't put him that close to beignets.
To beignets, to unlimited po' boys, daily seafood boils. It would be a tough place to have hundreds of millions of dollars as a young 20-year-old. But an awesome day for the NBA yesterday. Masterclass.
Very, very, very fun day.
Yeah. Dominating.
I swear sometimes it is almost like this with the NBA. Not right now because it's the NBA Finals, but sometimes the off-the-court, off-season drama, off-the-court drama, like the stuff yesterday with Ja and Zion and, like, Chris Paul getting waived. NBA free agency, more interesting than the regular season to me sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times. If you remember last year, the big one during the NBA Finals, the big controversy was the Curry, like, wife swap deal. Do you remember this? That the Currys obviously have split up, the parents, I mean, of Steph. And there was kind of like a wife swap kind of deal going on. Do you remember this at all?
Maybe.
Anyways, a point being, it is an incredible sport to follow. Even if your two favorite teams aren't in the NBA Finals, the off-season drama is just as good.
What do you make of Chris Paul getting waived, by the way?
Well,
where do you think he ends up?
It makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask you, as a Heat fan, let's say you lose in the NBA Finals, would you rather pursue Chris Paul or Dame Lillard?
Dame, 15 times out of 10.
I think so, too.
I just think Dame fits the Heat culture really well.
I do, too.
And I think he has a lot more left to offer than maybe people realize. I think he has more to offer than
Chris
Paul. I think
he had his best season last season.
Like,
Dame Lillard was awesome.
I think Dame has much more to offer than Chris Paul. Not to mention, I mean, Dame's had his own injury issues the past couple of years, but some of it's also just been, we're not good anymore, take some time off.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, hate to hold it against him, but he's been hurt in every playoff run in the last, like, five.
And the scoring has gone down. Like,
yeah.
Like, the Dame scoring this season was incredible.
I would be intrigued by Chris Paul, moderately, but I'm very into Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
I want Damian Lillard on the Miami Heat yesterday.
Yeah, he seems like your kind of guy. And
he's my him and Russell Westbrook are my two favorite non-Heat players in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I'd be really pumped to get Dame.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook was always my favorite non-Grizzly until Jokic. Now I absolutely
love Jokic.
Jokic
too, actually.
Yeah.
He's probably my third favorite non-Heat player.
Yeah, incredible. But yeah, I think that a team like Miami or Boston for Chris Paul makes the most sense because he's going to be the worst defender on either of those teams, but they have enough defensive like infrastructure to kind of cover up for him. And so the problem being, so let's say it's Boston, like you probably have to get rid of Brogdon in that situation. Brogdon obviously also has dealt with his own injury stuff even as soon as this Eastern Conference Finals, but he's a younger guy. He is obviously a better defender than Chris Paul. And just won Sixth Man of the Year, so I wouldn't necessarily be like running to the door to get rid of Brogdon for Chris Paul, but he solves a lot of their offensive problems, which is another ball handler and a guy who can actually like organize and operate your half-court offense, which is something that kind of ended up being their demise in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat. So, like, I think a team like that makes a ton of sense. He definitely is going to try to get on a championship contender. The Lakers are obviously in that mix as well.
That's what I was about to say. Maybe we finally get Chris Paul to the Lakers.
Yeah. It makes, again, there's a defensive infrastructure there that can kind of cover up for him being the worst defender on your team. So I don't necessarily hate that. It is, you know, a guy taking the ball away from LeBron, though, but maybe Chris Paul is kind of your second unit operator kind of guy. Play him in crunch time to get things organized in tight games. But I think it's interesting. Like, I still think he has a lot of value. If I'm the Suns, though, I'm trying to turn him into two role players because the Suns' depth got really shaky in that Nuggets series where you're relying on Landry Shamet and Campaign and Terrence Ross and TJ Warren. Like, it got ugly quick, and that's because they really, you know, gutted their bench to get Kevin Durant. I think if you have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, though, you don't really need Chris Paul as your ball handler, offensive organizer. You know, we saw when Chris Paul went down in the Nuggets series that Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are enough to kind of initiate your offense. And really, those are the only two guys that should be operating with the basketball in any situation other than catch and shoot and finishing, you know, with DeAndre Ayton. But, you know, I'm trying to turn him into depth because that's where they're lacking.
Well, a lot going on in the NBA yesterday, obviously. Again, between all the off-the-court drama and Game 3. Quick turnaround for Game 4. None of that sit around and wait and twiddle your thumbs for a couple days business. We're right back in action Friday night. But on the program today, got to catch a break and switch gears, transition to a little baseball talk on the other side. Stay with us here on The Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, I know I said we're going to get into a little baseball talk, but got a little conference expansion news.
Okay, what's up?
Big 12, they're expanding.
Everybody's expanding all the time. Who's in? Who's out?
Well, not in the way that you typically think. The Big 12 is going to expand into Mexico to try to capture all the fans south of the border.
Classic misdirection by you.
Yeah, tricked you. Not Colorado coming to town. The Big 12 conference announced the launch of Big 12 Mexico, the conference's first international extension. They're going to start playing some games down there.
Okay, but think about this. If you're a college kid, which we were at one point, and you're a big fan of your school's football team, just like us, and you're at TCU, it's your sophomore year.
Can it be my junior year?
And yeah, sure. Yeah, junior year. Thank you. And it's your fall break. And there's a football game. It's TCU in Texas. And it's in Cancun, brother. And you and your buddies are headed down. You're telling me that's not a good fun time?
We're going to lose Big 12 fans to Mexico. They're not going to come back.
I'm just telling you that that's something that you and I, especially you, a traveler, a well-seasoned traveler.
Well, first of all, Monterrey is the football hotbed of Mexico, so that's where they would play football.
Got it. Yeah, that's you're right about that.
Come on.
But yeah, I see that as nothing but a good thing.
Yeah, no, I just find it funny. The Big 12, Mexico, they are going to see some men's and women's basketball, women's soccer, and baseball games all held in Mexico with their eyes towards also getting either, you know, some football games or a bowl game that has Big 12 ties.
I could see that, yeah.
Held in Mexico. The Big 12 Mexico's first contest is going to be a men's and women's basketball doubleheader.
Oh, that's going to be sick, actually.
Yeah, to kick off the Big 12, it's going to be held in Mexico City, at Arena CDMX in December of 2024, following the launch of Big 12 Mexico.
Yeah, so it's even better. Basketball season, maybe you get there.
It's going to be a really good game,
Thanksgiving
too.
Thanksgiving break, something like that.
Kansas and Houston.
Nice. That will be good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, those are perennial top 10 teams going at it down in Mexico City. Big 12 soccer and baseball, they're going to play in some exhibitions down there against clubs from Mexico.
Okay, that's fun.
And, yeah, they're trying to establish a bowl game in Monterrey starting in 2026. It would be the first bowl game ever held in Mexico. I'm all for weird bowl games.
Yeah, definitely.
The more, the better. I mean, the Bahamas Bowl is my favorite thing in the world.
Who do you think sponsors the Mexico Bowl? Senior Frogs?
Denny's.
Denny's Monterey.
The Denny's Monterey Mexico Bowl.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that would be a fun time.
Spirit Airline.
That would be a fun time to get down to Mexico with your boys, though, after, you know, you finished your econ final and you're like, yeah, I'm going straight to the airport for the Monterey bowl game.
What country should the SEC expand into?
What a great question that is.
Could you imagine if we just came out tomorrow morning, SEC Canada?
Yeah.
Tennessee and Florida going to tip off the college basketball season in 2024 and Regina, Saskatchewan.
Canada seems like the easy one. I think you go to Europe, though. I'm speaking specifically for the Vols, who have had a lot of European talent for the basketball team. I think that only helps your recruiting possibly down the road. Germany was the first thing that came to mind. I don't know why.
Not to sound anti-other countries here.
Yeah, xenophobic, we call that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Nationalistic.
Not to sound nationalistic here or xenophobic. I don't want my team playing anywhere other than America.
Okay.
I'm all for all the other teams playing all over the country, but I don't like when the Titans play in Europe. I don't want the Vols leaving the country. I want it travelable.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting to Europe.
That's fair. I think that's a fair take to have.
I don't want to lose good
Your
games
travel-
to other countries. Like, I'm livid still that the NFL took away the Titans' best home game of the season and put it in Europe.
What game was that?
The Ravens game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They took away our the Ravens are one of our probably two biggest rivals in the NFL.
Yeah, from the last couple of years, battles. I mean,
going back all the way to 2000.
True, yeah.
Like going back to the years that the Titans and Ravens were in the same division when the Titans first became an NFL team
in
Tennessee. I mean, they went at it. They hated each other's guts. Ray Lewis, Eddie George were throat and throat, neck and neck. Like, they despised each other, also love each other, and they're great friends. They have a great respect for each other. But on the field,
battle.
They had beef, and the Titans and Ravens had beef. And it's gone all the way. It's carried all the way through recently. You know, you had the Titans upset Lamar Jackson when he was the MVP. The next year, the Titans go back into Baltimore and whoop their rears in overtime. And you know, there was the incident where they were celebrating on the logo.
Logo gate.
And then, you know, the Ravens, the next year, they come and knock you out of the playoffs in your building, and they dance all over your logo.
Right.
That was legitimately the most angry I've ever been in my entire life.
So you say protect the logo?
No, I was just angry.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
more by the loss.
I was very angry that they were on our logo, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, next time we go to Baltimore, I hope we beat them by 40 and dance all over their logo.
And now you guys are playing them in Germany or the UK game?
UK, I think.
Yeah.
But
you just know
that
you're
was
not
the one.
Be
yeah,
there.
I mean, that was the one I had circled as like, hey, this is the biggest Titans home game of the year. I'm jacked for this game, and now it's in Europe. So, I mean, imagine how mad you would be if like, fast forward to 2035, and they're like, all right, Tennessee, Florida this year. Actually, I know it was in the swamp last year. It's your turn to be in Neyland, but we're gonna try something new, and we're gonna put this game in Ireland.
Yeah, we're going to Latvia.
Yeah, we're gonna put this game in Winnipeg.
Although you remember the Nebraska Northwestern game in Ireland
pretty
last
sick.
Year? That was awesome. But obviously, that's because we aren't fans of them.
Exactly.
Yes. Agreed. There, you know, that's the thing that's kept the Bristol Motor Speedway from having another football game there, because the Virginia Tech Tennessee game is maybe one of my favorite college memories. Obviously, I'm from there, but it was so sick. And, yeah, teams just don't want to give up the home-and-home thing ever.
We need another game at Bristol. You need to make that happen. And hour one's done. Hour two's on deck. Stay with us on the Blitz.